What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, we are projecting the 2024 Jacksonville Jaguars. Lots of movement here at wide receiver. We're going to get into it. Maybe Trevor will finally have a what we would deem very successful year as a quarterback. Hopefully, maybe. Let's see. So when we're looking at coaching, and that's really a big thing here, especially the play calling for the Jaguars, there's not much movement. Not much has changed. And we've had questions about, hey, is the head coach calling it? Doug Peterson calling it? Is the offensive coordinator calling the offense? Are they going back and forth between each other? But whatever the case may be, last year, the play calling wasn't good. And it didn't really seem to improve at any point. And going into year four for Trevor Lawrence now, somebody that we still look at, still see with a lot of potential, right? There's still questions there. We don't know how good he can truly be in the NFL unless somebody can actually unlock him. And as much as we want to add pieces to this offense, which we are going to get into, and I do think that he might have his best career year so far, which isn't saying that much, honestly, I still think that there's going to be a lot left on the table. There's a lot more to be desired than what we will get. Hopefully soon that will change, but I don't think it'll be this year, but we're still going to get into the projections of it because there are still some very good fantasy players here on this team that I am excited for and I think are huge sleepers. All right, so looking at coaching, like I said, not much has changed. Offensive line, they added center Mitch Morse. Skill positions, they lost wide receiver Calvin Ridley and wide receiver Zay Jones. They added wide receiver Gabriel Davis for $39 million three-year deal and drafted wide receiver Brian Thomas in the first round functionally to fill those two losses. On the defensive side of the ball, they added defensive tackle Eric Armstead. They're paying him $51 million over 3 years. They added cornerback Ronald Darby. They added safety Darnell Savage. They drafted defensive tackle Mason Smith in the second round, and they drafted cornerback Jerrion Jones in the third round. They're trying to bolster up this defense because this defense, you know, there was a time not too long ago where their defense was sneaky good, and it really hasn't been anywhere near that recently. So they're trying to build that defense up. Looking at history, they have actually been pretty good in terms of how much plays they've been running, right? They haven't been a very efficient offense, but they have run a lot of plays. Last year, they had 1,073. They had 39 touchdowns, basically league average, and they passed the ball 58% of the time. Now, in 2022, they still had more plays than most teams, 1,044. They passed the ball 57% of the time, and they had 41 touchdowns, just above the NFL average. So when you're thinking about the context of this team as we move forward, just think about it like this. They run plays, more plays than normal, they score the average amount of touchdowns, and they pass the ball a little bit more than most teams. That's basically what you got there. Trevor Lawrence, to add context to last year, Trevor Lawrence, he was playing hurt most of last year. His wide receiver room largely remains even in talent, especially this year. So when I'm looking at the changes, right, losing Ridley but replacing him with Brian Thomas, losing Zay Jones, replacing him with Gabriel Davis, I'm looking at this wide receiver core in terms of talent at just about the same. I think Brian Thomas will be better than Calvin Ridley if he gets developed right, which we will get into in a little bit. But as of right now, I think Brian Thomas, Calvin Ridley, you can kind of even them out and say they're about the same. So in terms of what we're going to be working with this year for Trevor Lawrence, I would say wide receiver room is about the same in terms of talent level. Now, when we're looking at what Trevor did this past season, right, it appears that after Trevor's knee injury, he began to run less. 5 of his first 7 games, he had over 20 rushing yards. The next 6 games were all under 20 rushing yards. He ran a lot in the beginning of the season, and then it tailed off after he started getting her, right? It's right in line with his injury. And we're going to go through his injuries too when we get specifically into him. But to finish out with some highlights for the team is their defense should be slightly improved with all the additions they're trying to make here. And it makes me think between the defense being better, the wide receiver room being about the same, and Trevor running more this year than he has in the past before he started getting injured, it makes me think that they might pass a little bit less this year if he feels confident to run again, right? And that's a big if. So with that said, on the flip side, if his weapons end up being a lot better, if Bryant Thomas just comes onto the scene, bursts onto the scene, and he's better than Ridley, and Gabriel Davis is better than Zay Jones, and you also have to remember Christian Kirk and Zay Jones both were missing games last year. So if all the weapons are better, right, then he could lean into that and have a better passing game. Now, because of the uncertainty, I'm going to keep the pass rate about the same. But aside from that, there's not much that should change on the macro level when we are looking at this Jaguars team. My projection for them this year is going to be 1,065 plays, still above the NFL average, right? Kind of in line with what they've been doing. A 44 touchdown mark, and which is better than what they've done the last 2 years, and a 58% pass rate. That's what I have for this team this year. Now, when we're looking into Trevor Lawrence, all right, 618 passes is what he's going to come out to in my projection. 76 runs per game, giving him 5 runs per game. He was running a lot more before he was injured. He paced for 94 runs over the year. I'm giving him 76 here. And speaking of those injuries, here we go. Week 6, knee injury. Week 13, ankle injury. Week 15, concussion. Week 16, sprained shoulder, AC joint. This has been Trevor Lawrence since he's come into the NFL. Much like Joe Burrow, both of them have been plagued, number one overall picks, with consistent injuries. I think that Calvin Ridley and Trevor Lawrence had a poor force connection last year, and Brian Thomas coming in to take that outside role might be a little bit better. I think that Trevor will be a little bit more efficient this year, but not too much, right? If you give him some health, give him better luck of the draw when it comes to his health, and look at the wide receiver room as a little bit better, especially since Kirk and Zay Jones didn't really get to play much together last year. It was kind of just, he had one of those guys with Ridley and Ingram. Now you've got everybody all together. We're projecting health, of course. Then there's reason to believe he can get a little bit better, right? And hopefully the play calling can improve from what it has been. But we don't really have any reason to put stock into that notion. So I'm going to give Trevor Lawrence 7.25 yards per attempt. Right, that's below the NFL average for quarterbacks. It's about 7.3 for quarterbacks is the NFL average. Last year, Trevor Lawrence had 7.1. So I'm still improving him from last year, bringing him close to that league average on efficiency. Now, his touchdown rate, I'm going to give him the best of his career because I think the weapons are going to be the best of his career. So I'm going to give him a 4.5% touchdown rate. That's just barely above NFL average. So when we're looking at Trevor Lawrence overall, right, he's still going to be passing a lot. Got him passing 58% of the time with above average league plays available. So he's going to be getting among the most passes in the NFL, 618. 402 completions, 4,477 passing yards, and 28 passing touchdowns. And then on the ground, 76 carries for 380 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. That puts him at 20.4 points per game. Surprisingly to me, that puts him above Jared Goff and above Geno Smith. After I finished my projections for Goff and Smith and those offenses, I figured that Trevor probably wouldn't come out above them, right? But this is why I do my projections. I would take Trevor because of what I've learned over these guys, and it's probably just because of those legs. That little added 380 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns, it's not something that you get with Goff. Geno, I don't expect to bring that this year in the Ryan Grubb offense where Michael Penix didn't run much. So that, I think, is really the difference maker here for Trevor. You're going to have similar type of passing, maybe a little bit less efficiency and less productivity as a passer than Jared Goff, most assuredly, but also possibly Geno Smith. However, the rushing will bring him above them. So that's why I have him at 20.4 points per game. He's just below Jaden Daniels. Now, Christian Kirk, this is one of the guys that I think are going to be very, very good values. Somebody that you need to be looking at for fantasy football, somebody that's consistently slept on and still will be again this year. It's Christian Kirk. 22% target share last year, each of the last 2 years in Jacksonville. So that's a safe number. We can look at Christian Kirk and say, it doesn't matter what Brian Thomas is this year, especially the prospect and the profile that we look at him having coming out. It's not some Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers ready to take on a huge target share and run any type of routes you want in the offense. That's not what he profiles as. We didn't see him have a lot of depth in terms of what he was doing in LSU, right? So he's not going to come in here and get a 28% target share and hurt everybody. That's not what he's going to do. So when we're looking at Christian Kirk, that 22% target share is safe. He's going to get that again. We're very close to it. There's no reason for it to change at all. And actually, last year, interestingly enough, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Evan Ingram, all three of them had a 22% target share each. So they like to spread the ball around pretty evenly in this offense when everybody is healthy. And I don't think that's going to change too much, right? So real quick, before I continue on Christian Kirk, because I was having that conversation about Kirk and Brian Thomas and how Brian Thomas coming in may or may not affect things, right? So he's not the most polished guy, Brian Thomas. He's not going to demand a high target share this year. However, for the future, just to give some dynasty context to Christian Kirk, right? For the future, Brian Thomas, it depends on his development, which Steve Smith, who's somebody I like to listen to when it comes to wide receivers, he says that the Jacksonville wide receivers coach is one of his favorites, somebody who knows how to develop guys, and Brian Thomas is in very good hands. Now, if Brian Thomas does develop, right, and does take his elite physical traits and physical abilities, and he's really good in 50-50 situations, if he takes that and develops that, then he can become one of those 26, 27, 28% target share guys in the future, which at that point, depending on if Evan Ingram is still there or not, could hurt Christian Kirk for the future. But for this year, I'm very high on him, right? He was super efficient, Christian Kirk again. Now we're transitioning back to him. He was very efficient last year, and that's probably going to come down a little bit. And I'm going to bring his efficiency down a little bit, and you're still going to be surprised by how high I have him. He played 67% of the snaps from the slot. Christian Kirk was the slot wide receiver for them when he was healthy last year. In 2022, he was less efficient than last year. He played 52% of the snaps from the slot. Well, the Brian Thomas addition as an outside wide receiver actually helps Christian Kirk because it keeps him where he belongs in the slot, where he plays his best, where he's the most efficient. The only reason he wasn't above 67% of the snaps from the slot is because sometimes he had to go outside. Zay Jones would go in the slot sometimes. But now, Brian Thomas, they're not going to be putting him there. He's going to be outside. So Christian Kirk gets to stay, probably played the most slot snaps he has ever played in Jacksonville this year, and will help him stay really efficient. So this is just showing you that he has upside to outperform what I'm projecting for him, because I just told you, I'm going to give him less efficiency than he had last year. Yet, he shows to be most efficient in the slot, and he will be in the slot more this year than he has been in the past. So it's a very interesting little value here in Christian Kirk. Now, I'm going to keep his target share the same type of, 67-ish percent catch rate, just bringing his yards per reception down a little bit, giving him 7 touchdowns. He's consistently been between like 6-8 touchdowns for them, for Jacksonville in the offense, and around the 25% of the touchdowns share. So that's kind of what I'm projecting for him here. This projection I have for Christian Kirk, only a 22% target share, less efficiency than last year, brings him to 136 targets, 91 receptions, 1,184 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That is 14.3 points per game. That is just under JSN and just above DJ Moore. That is not the range he's being drafted at all. I'm telling you, Christian Kirk is a wide receiver too. He still is a wide receiver too, and he's not going to be drafted that way. Not only has he been really good in Jacksonville, but he's just been consistent, right? He's scored 10 points or more. If you look at my consistency, which is available in the draft sheets, he scored 10 points or more in 73% of his games. 73% of the games Christian Kirk has played recently, like this year, and if I remember correctly, last year he was also very consistent, but this past year, 73% of the time got you at least double digits. That is a very high mark. One of the highest marks you find. And that is a great wide receiver two option if you go running back heavy, or if you, you know, go hero running back, but you hit quarterback and tight end high. You know, if you're trying to stack your roster elsewhere and wide receiver ends up being one of the last things you're filling up, Christian Kirk is an amazing wide receiver two option. If you're absolutely elite everywhere else, he could be your wide receiver one and not be killing you, because you know you're going to be getting those 10 points in those healthy games. So in my opinion, when I'm looking at Christian Kirk and trying to understand what the value difference is here, why he's so much better than people seem to be drafting him as, seem to realize, I think they're just overrating the impact that Brian Thomas will have as a rookie in terms of target share. I'm actually high on Brian Thomas. I think he's going to have a decent year. But in terms of the targets and how he impacts the other guys on the team, I don't think he's going to do what other people are seemingly expecting. I don't know what other reason they would be low on Christian Kirk. So moving now to Brian Thomas, kind of already talked about him a lot, but he is replacing that outside role that Calvin Ridley played, and he has the size and traits to be the touchdown go-to. I do think he will lead the team in touchdowns. That's just the type of frame, body, and ability that he has. Calvin Ridley had a 22% target share last year. I'm going to give Brian Thomas 20%. Ridley, although, yes, he did miss a lot of time, a big chunk of time, had an absence in the NFL, he was still, when he came out of college, one of the more pro-ready viewed college wide receiver prospects with a lot of different routes under his belt. And, you know, he obviously developed that in the NFL. So even though he was gone for a while, he's still a lot more polished and well-rounded compared to Brian Thomas. So I don't think Thomas will get just the same target share. However, I do think he will have a good one for sure. He's going to be used similarly to Ridley, but he's actually better at staying in bounds, and he's probably better on red zone plays. My guess is he leads the team in touchdowns. Like I said, I'm giving him 8 touchdowns out of the 28 in this offense. He's going to have 124 targets, 73 receptions, 1,057 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's 13.3 points per game. That is not a bad value late. And I like him best for best ball. Best ball formats, for those not super familiar, it's kind of cool. Like, if you love drafting, if your favorite part of fantasy football is drafting, that's best ball, because you basically draft your team and you never touch it after that. Your team will automatically start the players every week. Once the week is over, it automatically changes your lineup to the best players that scored that week on your team. So there's no, oh man, I sat this guy who scored 30 points and played this guy who scored 5. That doesn't matter in best ball. It's always your best lineup, but there's no waivers or anything. So after you draft, you're literally done. And it just goes on auto in terms of giving you your best week the rest of the season and shells out the winner at the end. So that's best ball. I think Brian Thomas is going to be good for that, just like Calvin Ridley was good for that last year. Now, funny enough, I have Calvin Ridley pegged. He is a wide receiver that I know very well. And because of it, if you listened to my podcast, my starts and sits and stuff through the season last year, which hopefully I'll keep it going the whole season this year. I got a little bit busy and distracted, but I kept going until about like week 8, I think, last year. And Calvin Ridley was one of the toughest people for, you know, people to get a grip on. Hey, is this the week he does good or not? Is he going to struggle this week? Is this the week he puts up 2 points, or is it the 20-point week? And people always were missing on that, but I wasn't. He was one of the guys I have a really good feel for. And every single week, accurately, I told you whether or not it was the start-sit week for Calvin Ridley, based off the cornerback he was playing against. And specifically, if it's a stronger, good cover corner that presses well, then that's Calvin Ridley's weakness. He cannot defeat the press, right? So because of that, that's something that made him not consistent for fantasy football, made him better for best ball. I think Brian Thomas, we're going to see a similar thing, but not for the same reason. Brian Thomas will be good for best ball because he's a rookie who's a little bit raw, but has good downfield ability and touchdown scoring potential. So when he does hit, it's going to be in big ways, but he's not going to be consistent game to game. He's not going to get a lot of targets every game, and he's definitely not, you know, doing the easy things to get fantasy points that are just kind of routine for wide receivers. He's going to be doing a lot more of the downfield type of stuff and red zone 50-50 ball stuff. Now, Gabriel Davis, we haven't talked about him at all, so we'll do that now, but honestly, he's not somebody I'm excited for at all. I think he's the fourth target in the offense. He was the clear number two for the Bills, right? And for the Bills, is the clear number two. He had 17% of the targets, and then 14% of the targets last year once Kincaid was added. So before Kincaid, as the number two, he had 17% of the targets. That's really poor. And last year, 14%. He's always, in my opinion, been overrated. And it just sucks for the Jaguars, man. I mean, for Jaguars fans, for Trevor Lawrence, I just wish better for you guys. I mean, paying Gabriel Davis this kind of money when you could pay, you know, go up in pay scale and get a legit wide receiver in here, trade for T. Higgins and pay T. Higgins. I mean, what they gave Gabriel Davis, did I put it up here? I don't think I did. Yeah, I did. $39 million over 3 years, right? You're paying Gabriel Davis $13 million a year. T. Higgins is asking for $20 million a year. You're not going to pay an extra seven for T. Higgins to do a trade and sign? That's so much better. So much better. So it's kind of just, and put him back with his college quarterback. Trevor Lawrence was his college quarterback. Like he's going to be great with him, just like they were in college. Stuff like that. It's just a lot of the decisions that they make in Jacksonville. They pay B players A money, and they sign B players on day one of free agency when all the A players are on the board. And they're acting like they're rushing to go get these B, C players that don't usually get signed until day three, day four. So it makes no sense. But anyways, Gabriel Davis, he's always been overrated. So I'm not really excited about this addition. But Zay Jones has also been a little bit overrated, which he's replacing. If you look at Zay Jones' efficiency and stuff like that, he's actually not been good. He just gets a lot of targets. Which is why when we get to the Cardinals, I'm not going to be just shelling out a bunch of targets to Zay Jones. And we'll talk about that in the future. But Gabriel Davis will be the clear number four behind the top trio. That will be all around that, you know, low 20s target share. Because Evan Engram will definitely be above him. So Evan Engram will be in the trio of Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas. I'm going to give Gabriel Davis four touchdowns and a very low target rate. He's going to have 93 targets, 56 receptions, 778 yards, and four touchdowns. It's 9.3 points per game. It's a big no thank you. Evan Engram. We'll talk about him, and then we'll finish out with Travis Etienne. Evan Engram is the other guy, aside from Christian Kirk, right? Brian Thomas is a decent value for a redraft, but I really just like him for best ball. I don't like those inconsistent wide receivers. I want consistent points in my lineup because I've been burned in fantasy football far too many times, having the highest scoring team in the league by far, getting into the playoffs, and then just getting knocked out because my team has the worst year of the entire season in the playoffs. It happens almost without fail to me, which is why I started a couple years ago the consistency metrics, why I started tracking that stuff, and why I always talk about it, and why I prioritize consistency. I would rather get somebody who scores 15 points per game, but is always getting you 10, than someone who scores 20 points per game, but sometimes gets you 5. That's just the type of build that I like. And so that's why I'm not going to be really touching Brian Thomas this year. For Dynasty, I think he's well-priced. He's a good value where he's getting drafted. But Christian Kirk is my guy, and Evan Engram is my other on this team. He had a 21% target share when Christian Kirk was healthy, but over the course of the season last year, he had just over a 22% target share. His catch ability arose from the depths of despair. Evan Engram was just this gif, this walking gif of dropping the ball in the worst moments for New York. And if I remember correctly, he wasn't really much better his first year in Jacksonville. But his catching, his efficiency, all just came from the depths of despair this year. He was very reliable for the Jags and for your fantasy team. He had the sixth, see look, he's consistent too. He had the sixth highest consistency rating for me among tight ends, scoring 7 or more points. Now, yes, 7 points doesn't seem like a lot, but for tight end, that's a big deal. Because tight end is so much worse as a position and the points that they put up compared to others that you have to bring it in terms of a relative score. You have to bring it down a little bit, right? A tight end scoring 7 points is just about as common as a wide receiver scoring 10 or a running back scoring 10. So he was one of the most consistent, sixth most consistent tight end last year. His efficiency was still kind of if you look at his points and how good he was, his efficiency was still kind of low in regards to his yards per reception. He was really low in yards per reception. Catch rate was good on the money. Like, that was great. And I think his yards per reception is going to come up a little bit, holding the same catch rate. That downfield threat of Brian Thomas, the downfield threat that Gabriel Davis will bring, one of the things that he does do well, right? That kind of stuff is going to help Evan Engram get more after the catch. So I think he's going to be a little bit more consistent. And the biggest thing holding him back is the low touchdowns. He's had 4 touchdowns the last 2 years with Jacksonville, and that's the biggest thing for tight ends. Unless you're getting, you know, 160 targets and you're the number one target in your offense, then you really need those touchdowns. And so he's one of those tight ends for me that I'm happy to settle with if I miss on Kincaid. If I miss on Kincaid, because he's the by far the best value of tight end right now in terms of where he's being drafted. If I miss out on him, which I probably won't do very often, but depending on where I'm drafting and how the draft unfolds, Evan Engram will be somebody that I am looking towards, because he's somebody that, while I know I'm not going to get a top 3 season from him if everybody stays healthy at the position, I do know that he's not going to kill me on any week. Most of the time, he's going to get me 7 points at least, because he gets a lot of targets. And he has a good catch rate, so he's not getting targets and then getting no receptions, because they're, you know, downfield and they were bad targets that day, or they had double coverage or a safety over the top. No, he gets those consistent slants, the digs, the easy stuff that puts points on the board for tight ends. So Evan Engram, my projection for him is 130 targets, 97 receptions, 1,022 yards, and 4 touchdowns. 13.1 points per game. That is just behind Kyle Pitts, obviously with way less upside than Kyle Pitts, and just over Dallas Goedert. So when you're looking at, just at, you know, also mention this, when you're looking at my draft sheets and you see guys that are projected really close in points per game, don't mistake that for me saying that that's how closely I would draft them, right? Kyle Pitts is just barely above in projected points, just barely above Evan Engram for me. However, I recognize that Kyle Pitts has a way higher ceiling, and that is why I'm willing to pay the draft price of a sixth round pick, let's say, for Kyle Pitts, or fifth round pick for Kyle Pitts, over taking Evan Engram right there in the same spot or right behind him. You know, the 2-round difference between these two guys is fair because of the difference in ceiling and how Kyle Pitts could be the number two, or should be the number two target, could maybe in a outlier world get more targets than Drake London, where Evan Engram just doesn't really have that possibility. You might disagree with me because look at how many targets he got last year, but like I said, last year Christian Kirk missed a bunch of games, Zay Jones missed a bunch of games, so it was basically Calvin Ridley versus Evan Engram, and Calvin Ridley was taken out, removed from games because of press coverage, which is good to remember when we talk about Tennessee too. Like, through the season, if you're a Calvin Ridley owner, just recognize, who is Tennessee playing against? And do they have a corner that's just going to stick and press Calvin Ridley? Because if so, I need to look somewhere else this week. Just remember that, all right? Travis Etienne is the last one we're going to talk about. I'm giving him an 8% target share. It's less than last year, given full health, because, once again, a lot of the weapons were getting hurt last year. So I don't think that Etienne's going to get targeted as much. Part of the reason he did was because of the injuries. I'm going to give him the same efficiency that he's had. Over the last 2 years in Jacksonville, he's gotten 75% and 61% of the running back carries. And that was something I missed on. I didn't think Etienne was going to get 75% of the carries last year. I was not a Tank Bigsby guy. However, I thought the drafting of Tank Bigsby signified that they didn't want to have Etienne be a bell cow. But then they did have him be a bell cow. But it wasn't that great. And this is exactly why. Last year, he started extremely hot, but he tailed off. 6 of his first 8 games, and I'm going to probably repeat these a couple times because I want you to remember this. This is very important. 6 of the first 8 games that he had, Travis Etienne had 18 carries or more. 6 of the first 8. He got 18 carries or more only one time the rest of the season. In 8 games, he got 6. Right? The rest of the season, 9 more games, he got 18 carries once. And it was 18, I think, exactly. Like, there were times when he was getting 20 carry games in the beginning of the season. And this separation, what caused this change? It wasn't injury. It wasn't, now we got this guy, this running back that we brought in to share a load with him. No, that didn't change. He didn't get injured. What changed was they had a bye week. and they got to think about what they were doing. And also, not only the bye week, but their schedule got harder. And they do not, something I noticed when looking into this, going into the game logs, looking at the games, the scores, trying to remember everything from last year with the context that I remember, Travis Etienne, it wasn't just the bye week, right? It was because they were losing more games. They had a tough schedule. They were finding themselves behind, and they just refused to stay committed to the run. And it's not one of those teams where, hey, we lost because we didn't run the ball. That's not the case. Travis Etienne is not an efficient runner. He was not helping them that much. He was getting stuffed a bunch. He had one of the worst run stuff rates in the league. So it wasn't that. That wasn't the reason. It was more of, hey, if we're winning, we're going to run the clock out with Travis Etienne. But it was never, we're winning because of Travis Etienne. And that's a problem for me, because that's something that creates a very high risk possibility of extreme variance away from what you would expect. When you have a really good running back, you know he's going to continue to get touches. But if you have a running back that's maybe not that good and just been getting touches, you could find yourself in one of those just Damian Pierce seasons where all of a sudden, oh, he was getting volume, but he's actually not, you know, the best running back out there, and now he's getting replaced or somebody's supplanting touches from him, like something like that. So that always scares me, because pre-bye week, Travis Etienne, 18.9 carries per game. After the bye week, 12.9 carries per game. And his yards per carry last year was also really bad. And like I said, it's not, he doesn't have a high yards created per touch, and he was getting stuffed a lot. So for me, it's just somebody to be weary with, right? Very concerning. If you look at each game, it was basically whether he was good or not correlated to whether or not they were winning the game and were able to just run the clock out with him. And I don't look at the Jaguars as a team that I feel confident in just leading a lot of games in the end, especially if you look at the division. Their division is going to be a lot tougher. The Titans made huge upgrades on the roster. The Texans are still going to be a beast. And the Colts are getting a healthy Anthony Richardson back with another really talented wide receiver. That's just tough sledding ahead. I'm giving Travis. I think he has a brother named Trevor Etienne. But I'm giving Travis Etienne 14 to 15 carries per game. And that's me being kind of generous. That's a 70% carry share, which is in the middle of what he's had the last 2 years, right? But I'm just looking at his ADP, and I do not want a running back on a team that is inconsistent with usage at such a high price point. If he was cheap, if Travis Etienne was cheaper and he wasn't going in like the top two rounds, if I could get him, or like at the 2-3 turn, if I could get him at the 4-5 turn, I would happily take him, because I would know when to play him. You play him when they're playing a team that sucks, because they'll be winning and then they'll run it out with him, and you'll get those late points. But his ADP is too high to draft and sit him half of the season. Like, that's just not something I'm doing. Running back is one of those positions where if you have a good one, you're supposed to be able to play them every week because you're getting guaranteed touches. Travis Etienne is one of those few running backs that does not give you guaranteed touches despite being good at the end of the season when you look at his fantasy points. So for me, no thank you. I'm projecting median efficiency. It depends on if he hits a big run or not, basically. But his efficiency, like, he didn't hit as many big runs this past year. That's why his efficiency was terrible his first year, I guess, if you don't count his injured rookie season where he didn't play at all. His first actually played season in the NFL, he had like 5 yards per carry, and it's because he hit a lot of big runs. But you can't rely on those, right? He's a big player bust, not my type of running back. 259 carries for me, 1,140 yards, 9 touchdowns. 49 targets, 39 receptions, 328 receiving yards, 0 touchdowns. That's 14.1 points per game. He's behind Kenneth Walker. He will finish, in terms of projections, in the 10 to 15 range for me, but he's a high-risk, inconsistent running back that I want no part of for fantasy football. Thank you guys for listening. Just to give you a quick little overview of the players for Jacksonville and what I'm doing with them. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good back-end quarterback one that probably runs a little bit more than guys like Jared Goff and Geno Smith and makes him a little bit better because of it. And he's somebody that, hey, if you miss out on the top guys, I'm all right with settling there. Maybe the play calling gets better and maybe he makes a big jump. That's Trevor Lawrence. Christian Kirk, a always slept on wide receiver who continues to get slept on because of the addition of Brian Thomas. However, Brian Thomas being added to the team moves him into the slot where he has been the most efficient over his career. And Brian Thomas being a raw, not completely raw, but more raw prospect, not in the likes of his teammate Malik Nabers, is not going to come in here and command a crazy target share right away. So Christian Kirk this year is going to be a very good value. I have him as a solid wide receiver too that's being drafted as anything but. Brian Thomas will be good for best ball leagues. His deep ability, his 50-50 ability, his usage that will probably be high in the red zone will make him have really good games, but they're not going to be consistent. He's not going to get the targets to be consistent. And the targets he does get are probably going to be very deep depth of target. And once again, that's not a type of pass that you bring in consistently. Gabriel Davis is going to be anything except for relevant for fantasy football. Evan Engram is another slept-on guy who, if he could just score more touchdowns, would be awesome. But he misses out on the touchdowns, so he doesn't have the huge ceiling that some people look for in tight end. However, he does have the consistency that I look for. And if you miss out on the top guys, he is one of the ones that I'm okay grabbing in the middle of the draft, knowing that you're going to get 7 points per game from him, at least, like at, you know, on the floor level, get 7 points, and then obviously he can give you a lot more than that from game to game. But he's never going to burn you. You're not going to get 0 points from Evan Engram. And then lastly, Travis Etienne, we kind of just talked about him. He's a boom-bust guy, inconsistent. His price point is way too high for me. Thank you guys for listening to the projection of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you have questions, if you have anything, hit me up in the Discord. Until next time, peace.